monitoring.
BNG. Afternoon, Alexander.
P2OP, how are you this wonderful day?
Alright. I almost wish it would warm up a bit. But, yeah, it's turning out to be a good enough day, I suppose.
What is your name again?
Glenn. KD2BNG. Now, we've spoken lots of times.
We have. I just haven't memorized the name to go along with the call sign. I know I have you in my logbook. It's just sometimes it takes a while to find individual people.
Most things follow the 90-10 rule, which means you hear from 10% of the people 90% of the time. It's an engineering thing, too. When I would used to do computer programming, and 90% of the program spends 90% of its time executing 10% of the code. So that's what you look at to optimize. So the 90-10 rule, 90% of the people are the ones you hear 10% of the time, and the other 10% you hear 90% of the time.
Right, then, I'm not sure if I got all that, but, okay.
These companies also use it. 10% of the people cause 90% of the accidents.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's making sense now.
One of those mathematical or scientific rules that somebody, I guess, just, you know, that seemed to apply. But, yeah, now you'll hear it. 90% of the people are on the air 10% of the time, and the other 10%, 90% of the time. Now, on this repeater, occasionally I'll hear new ones, but you pretty much, you or I or anyone else should pretty much know everyone by now.
I know everyone, but, that's what I kind of like about the repeater. I've kind of, like, formed, it's busy enough, but not too busy that I can form relationships with people on here and, kind of, you know, I don't really like getting too many new contacts. You know, I enjoy the new contacts, but, it's nice to be able to, gain, you know, like, a relationship with someone over the air.
Given area. Hey, that's probably another one. In any given area, 90% of the repeaters are probably inactive. I've got 20 other frequencies programmed into this radio. I've got every repeater in the upstate, and this one, and the Mount Mitchell repeater, and there's one other, is the only one I ever hear activity on. Same thing with 70 centimeters. I think there's activity on two frequencies.
It still seems to be the overall busiest, but I just already have formed relationships with people on here, so I haven't really played around much with Mount Mitchell. It doesn't seem like the people on there, not that they're bad, they're just not as willing to, like, carry on a conversation.
Their own little groups, that's for sure. I don't really talk to many of those people, hardly at all, either. I wonder if I could reach it from here with this radio. I probably could. I've done more with less. On the this radio at 25 watts with the quarter wave magnetic mount antenna, I'm sure I could get in.
You can't believe everything Glenn tells you, Alexander, KP4CPA. Oh, were you in there? Oh, me. Well, I just wanted to give Alexander that friendly warning.
The 90-10 rule. Now, 10% of the people do 90% of the talking. And that seems to be true of everything in engineering and other disciplines as well. Like, what's the other one? The police department. 90% of the crime or 10% of the criminals. It's funny how certain rules of thumb always seem to be true across various scientific or engineering disciplines.
Well, that's like 80% of the church, 20% of the church gives and the other 80% don't. So the church is supported by about 20% of the people. And the rest of them are just along for the ride.
Joke, the Catholic, the Protestant, and the Jew are discussing how they decide how much to give to the church. Well, the Catholic says, I draw a circle on the ground, I throw all my money up into the air, right? Whatever lands inside the circle, I keep. Whatever lands outside, I give to the church. The Protestant says, I do pretty much the same thing. I draw a line down the center of the room. Whatever lands on one side of the room, I keep. Whatever lands on the other side, I give to the church. The Jew says, well, here's what I do. I throw all my money up into the air, and what the Lord wants, he takes.
Whatever falls down. You're really smart. Go ahead, Alexander.
Well, I don't really have much comments to put in what's the conversation is going on right now, but yeah, I could. That's a little bit, you know, funny of a joke there.
Old jokes play to too many old stereotypes. Certain things, I guess, they were funny, but you can't say them anymore.
So.
Get offended.
Right. I usually don't, but yeah, I suppose. It's almost as though, I don't know, if I were in the business of stand-up comedy, what do I need now? An army of legal advisors? What might offend somebody and what might not?
Really don't care. If it offends somebody, the heck with them.
Pretty much what I figure. Well, what is it, almost 5 o'clock? So I gotta feed the cats. I got the cat food. I got spaghetti. I got sauce. I think I'll make something.
That's growing up. I really miss cats. My children were allergic to them, and my wife doesn't particularly like them, and so we've had dogs most of my grown-up years, and most of them were outside. The last one we had was inside, and she's gone, so we just decided we don't need a dog anymore.
Fortunately, as well, though, is more than half the people who keep dogs probably really, they don't have time to give them really the attention they deserve. It's an animal that needs a lot of attention. It's an intelligent, socially aware animal. And, you know, you really can't just shove a bowl of food in front of it and go to work and ignore it for 10 hours, come back and then put it out in the yard or whatever. Dogs have to be interacted with. You know, which is why there's a few in this neighborhood that are, I guess most of them are okay. There's one or two that are troublesome. I told you, I think, what happened to the one cat.
No, yeah, I feel sorry for my, my youngest daughter's, her family. They have two dogs, and he can put his paws up on my shoulder. His front paws up on my shoulder, and I'm 6'3", and he has to stay in a crate all day long, and the only time he gets let out is, you know, to go to the bathroom when they come home, and he has to get right back in the crate. So, well, they might leave him outside for a few minutes, but he has to go outside, and, you know, It's just sad because he's such a big dog. He needs to be out running, and they just don't have a place for him to do that.
The problem, I may have mentioned this, the German Shepherd from two doors down, female German Shepherd, 2 years old, maybe a bit older, might still be growing, I don't know, but you know, she would always come over here and, you know, just, I wouldn't say, just overly friendly, you know. She'd jump on you and want to lick your face, and I wonder why, you know, why doesn't she stay where she is? A couple of times she came over here and somehow got stuck under the attic. I or someone else had to go down there once or twice to get her out. She had broken off part of the leader of the chain and it got wrapped around something in the attic and got stuck down there. Now I think they built her a dog run there. But, you know, plus I think I told you the story of the pit bull. Pretty sure it was a pit bull terrier, looked like one. But I know whose dog it was the person across the way. I pull into the driveway just in time to see it standing over the body of a cat. You know, four cats. So I went over to the owner and I said, look, I told him what I tell other people. You know, dogs got to be active. You got to, you know, you can't just leave them. It was Caesar Milan, I think, once said, there's no bad dogs, there's just bad owners.
Jump in there, Alexander.
Yeah, I guess that would be true. Yeah, we also have a boxer. He's 8 years old now, but yeah, I guess we could have given a little bit more attention. I was about 5 years old when we got him, and I just didn't really know how to play with a dog. So my mom, you know, told us to play with him. I thought she meant for us to include him in our pretend games. So yeah, and then, but he found his own entertainment. He enjoys chasing around rocks in the yard and belly rubs. So normally now he just, you know, sits around in our schoolroom as we do school, and he seems pretty happy.
At that, cats will entertain themselves for hours. The inside core of the toilet paper roll, they like those. If you eat a bunch of grapes, save the little stems. That's another good cat toy. The top of the milk bottle, those caps, either the cap itself or the ring. You know, I don't know why there's this $1 billion a year market in cat toys. Cat toy is pretty much anything. So they're a little bit better at keeping themselves entertained. They're not as much, animal that needs that much attention.
Here's something strange. Changing the subject. I'm behind a new Toyota Avalon, and it has one of those turn signals like my Mustang. It has three lights, and so the turn signal, one blinks, the other blinks, and the third one blinks in the direction you're turning. So this one has a left turn signal light on, but it starts blinking at the left and goes to the right, so go figure.
No, the left one starts at the right and goes to the left. The right one starts at the left and goes to the right. Or at least that's the way it would normally be. And the light itself is usually this little arrow shape pointing in that direction. It almost sounds like something wired backwards, but if you just bought it, I can't imagine what's going on. That doesn't quite seem right, does it?
Well, I imagine the right one probably does the same thing. It goes from the right to the left, and they both should start in the middle and go to the outside, and they start on the outside and go to the middle. So that's, to me, that's backwards, but that's just me. So whoever engineered that, just, you know, I guess that's how their brain works. And you know it's the left turn signal because it's on the left side of the car. It's just the direction it's blinking is confused. It's confusing.
This is the Backward Engineering Award. Well, like this Toyota Prius, and I think it's, you know, it said probably what it is, it's the wrong bulb. The high beams and low beams appear to be backwards. So probably when I replaced headlight bulbs, and I'm sure I replaced both of them, maybe it was the one that was not quite the right one with backwards filaments or something. But yeah, the backwards turn signal, you know, I don't know how you would come up with that. Do they still do the, no, I guess they haven't. They haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. The one taillight that's elevated above the rest, like on the rear deck of the rear window?
Their brake light's required. I think it's required by law. I think that's a national, like a federal thing, a federal law. It's not state by state. So I'm sure the car makers had a heyday with that. And they started that in 1986 because I bought a 85 Forenza and it didn't have it, and the 86s did. And so I took one out of a, when I was working at the county then, I took one out of a deadline police car and put it in my car. Made it look like a 96, an 86 instead of an 85. But, it was the same color gray and everything. It matched the interior, and the car was gray on the exterior. So everything worked out. But anyway, I'm gonna bail out. Y'all continue on. I'm at the sports club. I'm gonna go warm up these knees a little bit before I get out in the court. So 73 is to all, and why don't you pick it up, Alexander, and I'll I'm gonna clear out of here. KP4CPA.
Keep it 7-3s, and hope we have a good time playing tennis.
Well, it's 5 o'clock. Yeah, cats are looking at me funny. So, time to feed them and make dinner. And I'm sure there's something I can put together for dinner. And I guess I'll talk to you later. Not a very exciting day, is it? I'll talk to you later, KD2BNG.
7-3 is KO4 QLP, and I'll be clear but listening.
KL4ULP, KO4RMM.
KULP.
Alexander?
Hi, how about yourself?
Thank you. Just run an errand to Food Lion to pick up some boneless chicken for our dogs.
What would be your name?
Bert.
Kurt, I think I've made contact with you, and you're probably somewhere here in my logbook, I think.
First correctly, I think we've talked a couple of times.
I'm definitely in here, and you're my first log.
I'm waiting on my my gift card to arrive. Either that or a t-shirt.
Then, for a gift card for what?
My friend, I was just being funny with you there. It was a privilege and an honor to be your first contact. I wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, first log, but not first contact, but yeah. My first contact, I didn't log right away, but I was able to log it after, because we made contact again. But, I still don't have his name down, though.
Alexander, you're good, man. Listen, I gotta tell you, this is sad, but I can't even remember who my first contact was. And that's, I'm kind of embarrassed to say that, but it's true.
You know who my first contact was if I did not log it, and I still don't know his name.
Alexander, how are things coming? Last time I heard you on the air, you were working on your shack. You've got your technician's license. Have you started studying for that general license yet?
I still haven't ordered the book yet, so I'm not able to start yet. But as soon as I can convince my dad to get that book ordered, I'll be studying for my general.
Copy that. Tell me about your shack. What, is it separate from your house, or Is it just a spare bedroom or an office? So, what kind of setup do you have?
Yeah, a big setup. It is in the corner of our upstairs because it's the closest place to be able to run an antenna up on the roof. So, you know, upstairs there, right next to the roof peaks, all I have to do is run the cord out the window and up to the antenna, which is pretty handy. I only need 18 feet of coaxial cable for that. And it's the L desk in the corner. Doesn't have any doors or nothing, so it's pretty much open to our upstairs. It's pretty much like a little bit of like a playroom with a couch and a keyboard. And then on the far side of upstairs is my dad's office, which I can see from here. There's no walls. It's just it's where he works. And I have two maps hanging on the walls and a few ham radio signs, a HF rig without an antenna. And just a few other odds and ends.
Good. Well, you got an HF rig. That's one more than I have. So, kudos to you, Alexander.
With any HF, then?
An HF transmitter. I have an HF shortwave radio receiver. It's a Grundig 750 Elite. So, I can receive on HF, and that's a lot of fun.
How far have you been able to receive then?
One night I picked up some guy in Massachusetts. And lately I have been enjoying listening to a fine group of, shall we say, rurally oriented individuals, which are friends in the mountains of West Virginia. So that is a, picking them up on 80 meters and around 9 o'clock at night. And they provided me a lot of free entertainment.
A pretty funny group then?
A little humorous personally, yes.
Then, well, so roughly how many of them are on? Is it the same group roughly every night?
I think there's four or five of them. One of them's named Rusty. And, you know, if they weren't friends, you wouldn't think they'd be talking to each other on a nightly basis. But the way they refer to one another is they treat each other pretty roughly. But I guess that's just the decorum that they've established and agreed upon. Over.
I guess so, yeah. So, I wonder then, how strong is their relationship?
They've known each other for quite some time. I will say they seem to all be experts on auto maintenance. If you listen to them consistently, and they, you know, next thing you know, you're going to know how to build an engine and a transmission.
So that's the main thing that they talk about then?
It seems. They'll talk some politics in there. And back in October, they were updating each other as to how the Braves were doing in the World Series. But mainly it's politics and automotive points of interest.
Well, maybe after I get a HF antenna, I can pick them up sometime.
I think they're on 3994 kilohertz. These guys are from West Virginia, and they're just some good old boys.
You know, I think my HF rig is able to do that. Might have to, you know, 9 o'clock is a little bit late for me, but maybe one time I can just try to tune in.
Well, if you run across them, you'll probably know. I would just simply suggest regard them for entertainment purposes only. I personally don't think that they adhere too strictly to the FCC rules and regulations, or it doesn't seem that it's terribly important to them if you know what I mean.
Do you suggest stay if there's foul language? I guess I might want to stay away from the frequency then?
Some foul language, but not a whole lot, to tell you the truth. It's just some other things that they talk about. I get the feeling that a couple of them aren't even licensed, to tell you the truth. But they're on the air. Of course, I can't prove that. I would just say, you know, get a laugh out of them for free. I wouldn't recommend emulating them.
Well, if they're using call signs, you could check it up on QRZ then and actually see if they are licensed or not.
But I don't hear a whole lot of call signs being thrown around amongst that group.
I mean, like, every 10 minutes, they're supposed to say your call signs and on top of that. So, do they even say when they sign on?
I tend to run across them in the middle of their chat session, so I don't really catch them right when they sign on. But I should have certainly heard more call signs coming out. Speaking of call signs, this is KO4RMM.
Yeah, well, maybe I should, you know, if they're... I don't want to run into any foul language, so I might just want to steer clear of them.
Bit. Alexandra, I'm at the food line now, so I'm going to get out and do a little grocery shopping. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you this afternoon. Sound like you're doing great. Keep on keeping on. And look forward to chatting to you again soon. I'm going to be 73 and clear here, Alexander, KO4RMM.
73, this is KO4ULP, and I'll be clear.
6CLX Mobile. 4DJC.
Mobile listening for about 15. 4RMM, mobile and listening for about 15 minutes. 4RMM, 73 and clear.